being utilized to the benefit of the organization going as far back as 2006. And when I inquired with the accounting department about why that was, the process that they were using was that if the IT director said that it should be paid for, they paid for it. So
it's really an incredible oversight that all comes down to a single point of observance, and it's a lack of education of the people who are paying the bills and the people who are approving the solutions by the offerings of necessity to people who really didn't understand the solution that was needed as they were presenting it to leadership that they needed to pay for that solution. It comes down to an entire lack of understanding of the language and business of technology.
That's very succinct.
That's it. It's the language of technology changes so rapidly quick, so incredibly fast, that it takes a sea of people who understand little pieces of that technology, of their particular part of the language, to work together to come to a complete perspective of how the business of technology should be run. And when you have a small onset of people who are not foundationally trained in technology, who don't have the ability to look at history of technology as well as the encompassing future of technology, that are making decisions mostly on the fly to fix a problem instead of develop a solution, a long-term solution for the entire business's perspective of technology, you end up with overburdening costs of purchasing in technology that wear the checkbook thin, and without any auditing in the process of the people who are making those decisions to oversee the people who are offering the solutions with the bill involved in those solutions, you end up with tons of overburdened, overrun in the checkbook. And like you said, we have all walked into, as a managed service provider in history, walking into technology departments where you see boxes of $30,000 and $40,000 servers that were purchased 18 and 24 months ago that don't have the sleeve cut on the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because at one point somebody had an idea that they wanted to put this in, and they just made a purchase and it was approved by people who didn't understand why.
Yeah. Let me hover on that for a moment. I have some pet peeves around this because I've been so burned by people being so just like completely reactionary in the past, where I have a procurement policy that I follow, which is I respect my clients. You know, I'm like, you know, it's very succinct like that, but let me articulate what that means. I don't understand why anybody would be buying a server when they haven't actually seen, at a minimum, a spreadsheet that says, here are the workloads that we're going to host on that server. This is what they are. These are their technical requirements. This is the licensing that is associated with that server. This is the hard drives. This is how they will be allocated. This is basically the engineering plan that is demonstrating how this capital expenditure will be allocated and configured to deliver economic value to the organization. So note, I'm not saying that this is not a project bid spec. Okay. That's not what it is. It's an actual engineering plan for the server and its licensing. And it says, this is how it's going to satisfy these workloads. Now, I can't comprehend a situation where I personally would make a procurement decision to go spend money on a significant piece of hardware without that level of due diligence. So I don't ask my clients to do that, yet I continually encounter situations where business owners do not require that. And furthermore, they just allow their IT department to just buy whatever without any proof about how that's going to be implemented and when.
And why is this? The reason it is because of this language barrier. I correlate it to languages you don't speak. Most people in the U.S. speak English.
I don't know if that's the exclusive only reason. I think there's another reason that contributes to it. I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I think there's another factor. And that other factor that I've observed is consistently across the last 30 years, what I've seen is business owners, most likely because of the language barrier, they seek to just find somebody to delegate these things to, and then they abdicate their involvement. And so there's the failure, is you can delegate, but you cannot abdicate risk management. Risk management must still reside at the executive layer. So, you know, at least at the very minimum, the CFO should be having a procurement policy that says, show me a reasonable plan about how this is going to be utilized. And if I can't understand it, then I'm going to get somebody else involved that can help me at least have another set of eyes on it so that we can at least be doing a reasonable level of due diligence. So what's your thoughts on that?
Auditing is the number one in the concept of technology auditing, and all of our processes in business should have auditing. It should have somebody that's not part of the process reviewing the process who hopefully has more knowledge about the process than the people who are running it.
Well, and that's a tall order.
it's a tall order in a lot of cases, because most commonly that individual or those people, that team of people doing the auditing is not already within your organization, or they'd be working in that process. However, risk mitigation is the number one piece, the number one reason why auditing is essential for a business. Risk mitigation, compliance, cost efficiency, strategic alignment, all of these getting down into the point of operational excellence in your business stems in the beginning by understanding the risks involved in the operation that's being brought to light in the business that needs to be implemented. And in a lot of cases, if you're an executive in your business and you're not looking at if you don't have the capability of understanding the risk that's involved, you need advisement in order for you to assess your level of risk to that implementation. And that's what this conversation is all about, is when we're executives in an organization, we have to surround ourselves with that group of people who know more about that topic than we do. And we have to have some way of measuring whether or not there's legitimacy to their level of knowledge to help you make decisions that mitigate that risk. Because nobody knows everything. I mean, I don't go into my brain surgeon if I needed a brain surgeon thinking that I know about brain surgery, and I can't research brain surgery on the internet and become a brain surgeon.
Well, I think even the experts are learning something new every day. I mean, I certainly do.
In our field especially, our field is more difficult than brain surgery. It covers the entire body of technology. The brain is just one piece of technology when we correlate the body to technology as an entity. The brain is just one part of that. It takes an entire body of doctors in technology to manage the technology infrastructure of any business, regardless of the size. And you get out of your technology the knowledge base that's putting effort into that. So when we talk about this process of not seeing or not understanding what's being presented to you, and we get all these overruns that happen in business, it is the reason why external auditing is so important. And I think that's what stemmed this conversation between us.
Yeah. You know, I always love to include examples of real world, tangible, actionable, what can we do? And so in alignment with what you're talking about, I'll want to convey something that we do that we've done, I think, ever since the beginning, and then the feedback that I've received on it. So great example is, let's say we're doing an invoice for the annual Office 365 licensing and all of the parts and pieces that go with it. There is, if there's anything in there that isn't like completely obvious to the business owner, like, gee, you have 8 users, so therefore you have 8 licenses. Well, it's never quite that simple. There's always reasons why you have additional licenses and other things on top of that. So yes, we have statements of work, but I always love just to put the detail right in the invoice too. And it doesn't mean that the invoice is a carbon copy of the SOW, but there are, the intent that we do, and I've never seen anybody else do this. Now, I'm sure there are other IT service providers do this, but I've never seen anybody else's invoices that do this. And I've never heard from anybody else that's a customer of ours that they've ever worked with anybody else who's done it. So it seems to be very rare, but I've had a direct experience where the CFOs are like, you know, we really appreciate that level of detail. And then it helps them when they have auditors. I've had circumstances where clients are funded by grants, and then they have auditors. So like, you know, they might be a state funded entity. And then so state auditors will come in, and the accountant for the organization feels very confident in being able to explain to the auditor and to justify to the auditor what those expenses were because of the articulation that we provide with those items and the details, right? So instead of just chucking an invoice at somebody or chucking a quote over at somebody, there's an explanation in there. And I kind of use this in a continuum of complexity. And it's like recently did a very large Office 365 renewal. And in the grand scheme of things, there wasn't really that much of a financial difference between last year and this year. However, the licensing used was changing substantially. And I felt that it was necessary to explain to the client why. So I wrote up not only a full document explaining it and the strategy, but then I had a meeting with the executive management team to go over it and saying, you know, here's your two factors. Number one, I respect you. And so because I respect you, I'm giving you an understanding about the why are these licenses needed? Why are these types of licenses being recommended? And what do they strategically do for your organization versus other options? And then the second thing is just simply the financial analysis, saying, what's the change? Is this impact to you? How does this, you know, is it less? Is it more? Is it, what is it, right? So having that discussion. And I don't see enough organizations demanding that. And I think, before I turn it back to you, I'll say one other thing that I think has just completely hacked me off. So this is another one of my hot buttons, is where when an organization doesn't have a procurement policy that's based upon standards, they will just light money on fire. And I've seen it over and over and over again. They'll just let internal IT buy whatever computers they want. And then lo and behold, later on during a cybersecurity audit, they find that, oh, gee, all those computers that IT bought with no oversight, not based upon any standards, they've now all got to be replaced because they weren't, those purchases were driven from a wrong set of requirements because the procurement policy didn't exist and it didn't require a set of defined written and agreed upon requirements for the technology, because I guess the organization doesn't think that they need to procure technology to meet the needs.
It starts off with understanding the guidelines that govern your businesses, understanding what governance and compliance standards your business is required to be upheld to. Some businesses don't have them. You don't have a particular compliance or governance standard that dictates how you do business. However, if you take a credit card, there's a governance and compliance standard to the computing resources that are used to take those credit cards. So it's very difficult to get to a point where you aren't really governed by something in business if you're transacting financially with an external entity and that is not cash.
Well, and everybody has employees. And
everybody has most businesses have employees.
Yeah. And then everybody, everybody has cybersecurity insurance. And so if nothing else, those two things right there are going to drive a lot. And it's amazing to me when I encounter people who are like, oh no, we don't have to comply to that. The thing that I've also observed over the last 3 years is people I was talking to 3-4 years ago about, you need to have cybersecurity insurance, you need to have XYZ things in place. The failure in the thinking at the executive level about how, because they're not being audited by a governmental entity, because their perception is that there is no enforcement, therefore, they don't have to be operationally mature. And that is changing. But boy, is it changing at a glacial pace.
If we went back to the beginning of this conversation and started off the conversation, why are we having this discussion? We're having this discussion specifically targeted towards business executives, potentially even business owners, the people who are in charge of the ship. And I challenge those business owners to walk through every aspect of their business and identify what they don't understand about that aspect of their business. It's not necessarily, do I understand how to put deposits in the checkbook? It's, do I understand what every function of my business is doing, like the captain of a ship, knowing where every bolt and every weld is in the ship. You have to understand your entire business as a whole when you are the leader of that business. It doesn't mean that you have to know every single operational function of your business, but you have to understand your business as a whole. Where you identify gaps in your understanding is where you need an auditor who can come in and identify what that function is of your business and ensure that it's operating correctly. Ensure that your team of people are being trained to do that part of their business correctly and are staying up with current process operations for how that function of your business runs. And it's not like you hire those people full time. Those types of people are brought into your organization to provide intellectual superior knowledge to that function in your business at that point in time to ensure that that portion of your business is running at its top peak.
That's interesting because there's a middle ground there. I think there's a middle ground. I don't want people to have the perception that they can just hire like an auditing, like let's just talk about IT for a moment here. I don't think that they can just hire an IT auditing arm of an accounting firm and then somehow have some sort of a result. I think that the only outcome that's going to be coming out of that is maybe egregious gaps. Okay. Like really, really egregious gaps. But
that's commonly a misperception, is yeah. that is that auditing firms and organizations that do valuations have the proper people to do this type of auditing.
Yeah. And I don't think they do.
Quite uncommonly the case.
Right. Right. Yeah. So the only things, I mean, in terms of like what works, what I've seen is first, if the organization by a miracle of God can actually locate an external resource to function as a fractional advisor to them, fractional meaning on a part-time basis, not as, you know, full-time engaged internal. If they can actually miraculously identify somebody with adequate levels of skill in that area to advise them in that way, then they could potentially be getting to a decent outcome. However, I think there's still potentially a limitation on that, which is that I personally have experienced repeatedly where until the time that my team was given the task of actually being the personnel that were responsible for the function, then we didn't have the visibility into the processes to actually identify how messed up they were. So that leads me to just pivoting to what I do at QPC is that's why we do rotational jobs. I believe that you can, as an, if you're a very, very highly functional organization, you can get to a level of where, and I'm not saying don't use external advisors. I'm saying that by doing job rotations, you are increasing the probability that someone will identify gaps in the processes that have been done by others. And
we do it all the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we do it all the time. And a lot of that comes down to inadequate resources, not necessarily incompetent resources. It's different. It's inadequate resources in technology. And I think you and I have spoken about this in the past. In technology, especially from external providers, it is very common for the scope of work of a project in a defined timeline of executing that scope of work runs into other interference that causes the timeline of that to either need to be pushed out a ways in order to complete it all, or to have supplemental projects added to that in order to complete the additional tasks, where the client sees the scope of work being install this firewall, install this switch, install this server, connect up this internet, put in this wireless. They don't see all the other interference that happens in the middle of that, both internal to their organization and external to their organization that's internal to the IT company. There's a lot of distraction that happens. And in a lot of cases, the managed service providers who are servicing these organizations run into resource issues where you just don't have enough resources to complete the entire task list at the given opportunity of this contract. So we commonly see firewalls that have been in, I pick on firewalls a lot because they are an extremely complex part of implementation in the business. The larger the business gets, the more integral their firewall becomes in controlling the communication flow internally, externally, and laterally with inside of the business. It's a complicated piece of the puzzle. And so it's common that this or that piece of the process of putting the firewall in didn't get done during the onset of this project, and it got tabled into another task of, oh, I need to go back and do that for this client because I didn't get it done during the original project. And it gets tabled again and it gets tabled again. And without an auditing process or cross-pollinating your staff to work against different clients where they see these mistakes or these shortcomings that weren't completed happen, without that kind of process in place at the managed service provider, you do end up with isolated individuals inside of the MSP who are focused on an individual client, solely responsible for the outcome of that client. Mm-hmm. And that's just failure waiting to happen.
Right.
Because one person can only be stretched so far across so many different clients.
Well,
and the resource availability of competent engineers in our industry is falling short, especially people with foundational knowledge.
Well, and that's also, you know, in that sort of like siloed one engineer, one client approach, there's then no opportunity for the organic validation that all of the documentation that's been done for that particular system or configuration is a workable document that is meaningful and understandable by the other people that would need to provide business continuity in that, you know, failover context, or in that, gee, I've now got a cover for you because you went on vacation context.
Right. And, if you're a business owner, and we'll interject this here in a just as a quick tidbit, you should be auditing how the business operations of your external service providers, not just IT, but how they document processes for other clients. What is their history of documenting the business interactions that they have with their existing clients, so that you understand how they're going to document your business in the event that, one, you want to change the managed service provider, or two, you need to go through an audit, or three, you need to completely rebuild a system in your business. You need to understand how the documentation of your systems are happening from your external provider. I digress. So, go ahead, Felicia.
Yeah, so the last two, so we got just a tidbit left here, but the last two pieces there is that I see a failure in the assessment process of selecting a new IT service provider. Business owners never seem to assess the thing you articulated there. And furthermore, they don't want to pay for it. They don't want to pay for documentation. Okay, we are sadly out of time. Thank you, as always.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first Saturday of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, go to her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
I'm Gregory Berg. The studios of WGTD will be closed on Monday for Labor Day, so there will be no Monday morning show broadcast. But there will be a morning show podcast, and it's something fun. It's my conversation with Mark Freeman, the author of Modern Family, the untold oral history of one of television's groundbreaking sitcoms. He talks with every member of the cast and with nearly every member of the creative team that produced the show. Look for the morning show